You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. It's a Wednesday morning, guys. Wednesday morning, things are looking good. It's a little bit rainy here. I don't know how things are up there. Hopefully well with you and your families and your friends and everything else going on, getting ready for this 4th of July weekend. Happy mid-season, mid-year. You know, it's halftime, essentially, of 2020. Crazy as it sounds, we're here. What a year it's been so far. It's been insane. Just with everything going on politically, the pandemic, 100-year type event, and just really something phenomenal to kind of get to witness firsthand, I guess. A modern-day culture shutting down for a virus, you know, and seeing all the ramifications and all the things that come with that. So let's kind of get into some stuff here, because I think that we have some good, we have a couple things to kind of mention today, and then probably just kind of talk for a while about a bunch of different things. But Chris Jones, defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, essentially yesterday threatened not to play in the 2020 season. He's having some contract dispute with the Chiefs. He wants more money than they're willing to pay him, basically. Name of the game, it almost sounds like, feels like in the NFL nowadays, is people always wanting more money than the team is willing to pay them. And it's, a lot of times, it's with these borderline star players that have made a big impact and want to be compensated for that. And Chris Jones is one of those guys. He's made a big impact, you know, on the field as well as in the locker room as a leader. This is a guy that probably, in all honesty, does deserve that money. NFL teams right now are being threatened by this virus. The salary cap is looking at dropping for the first time in a very long time. It's been gaining substantially every year. It's been about $10 million a year that it's gained over the last three, four, might even be 5 years now. And so with that uncertainty around the cap and playing with numbers and being like, gee, we might not have an extra $10 million to pad next year, they're not going to want to pay a lot of people right now, especially in places that are strapped for salary, kind of like Kansas City is. Kansas City is definitely a place that is strapped right now. They're about to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be a lot of money. You know, so it kind of does make sense that they don't want to pay him, even though he kind of does deserve it. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this, you know, during contract negotiations over this next year with, you know, extensions, re-signing, and you'll probably see it in free agency too. It'll be a very slow free agency period. But here's what I would also expect. We had, last year's trade deadline was a lot of fun. It was probably one of the most active trade deadlines we've seen in the NFL in a long time. Get ready for that trade deadline to be even more active. Here's why. One, you do have the salary cap probably dropping next year. That means that a lot of these guys with borderline contracts, the teams were not terribly comfortable signing them to, are going to go up on the market, and they're going to be cheap. Two, especially if it's a expiring contract, by the way. Two, we have an extra playoff spot on both sides. You know, there's going to be three wild card teams as opposed to two. Let that kind of sink in a little bit. That means that you are in the playoff run longer, for a much longer period of time than you anticipated. Because that one extra spot, depending on the year, of course, that could keep you in the playoff race for another 2 weeks, you know? And that's what we're going to see is there's going to be, that's why the draft was a little wild this year outside of, you know, just not being in the normal conditions that it is normally in. But the draft was wild this year for that reason. Free agency was wild this year for that reason. People making trades that we're not used to seeing. Teams are taking more calculated risks because they can afford to take them. You have an additional playoff spot, two additional playoff spots as opposed to normal. You know, so 14, instead of 12, 20 teams sitting. 18 teams are going to be sitting this year. And it doesn't sound like that much of a difference, but you're going to see the difference come weeks 10 through about 15, 16, maybe even up to week 17. You're going to see way more teams competing. And when I say way more, I mean like, you know, three, four more teams than we're normally accustomed to legitimately having a chance. All right, so this is what's going to be fun about the expanded playoff. There's a lot of people that were griping about it and whining and saying, oh, expanded playoff is going to hurt the game. No, expanding playoff is not going to hurt the game of football. It is not going to hurt the NFL. And because there's only one team that gets a bye week, right? Before I make this point, I do have to backtrack for a second. How many times have we seen in the course of an NFL playoff where one of the teams that took the bye week came out, played a wild card team that they were much better than, but because they'd sat for another week, it didn't pay off. The rest was almost stiffened them. We've seen that so many times. Guess what? You're about to see that a whole lot less. Here's why. There's only one team sitting and getting a bye week now. Not two per conference. What that's going to do is it's going to push teams week 17 to get that number one seed. Because normally what would happen, and we saw this, you know, the Ravens, we saw this, you know, we've seen this with the Chiefs, we've seen this, you know, just in recent memory, we've seen this a lot. Normally, if they've got they've got one or two locked up, they sit their starters week 17. And it's almost that extended rest period for 2 weeks hurts them because they have the week 17 off and then they have the wild card weekend off. Then they come back. It's a longer break period than you're accustomed to getting over the course of a season. And sometimes it is hard. It is hard for bodies to get back into it. It's a necessary risk for a lot of the teams that do it because they have star players. They don't want to get hurt in week 17 and foil their playoff run. So what this is going to do is it's going to push more teams to win their week 17 game. Because there's only one week off. Two teams in the league that are going to get a bye week in the playoffs. And that 1 week period is going should be enough motivation for them to play that last game. And then you don't have this whole thing where they're sitting around for all forever waiting to play 2 weeks. Anyways, I think the playoff expansion is going to help the NFL tremendously. It's going to make this playoff run way more interesting. I know a lot of people were concerned about bad teams essentially getting into the playoffs. And look, if you're in the top 50% of teams in the league, you're not a bad team. You're above average. And we're not close. well, not all that close to being at exactly 50% in the playoffs, and it's never going to get that way with the NFL. You'll never see a 16-team playoff. Anyways, it just helps the game overall because the bye week did hurt teams a lot of the times in the playoffs. You're not going to see that anymore. You're not. And free agency is going to get crazy, especially when things kind of return back to normal and the cap starts to shoot back up again. It's going to be great. Free agency is going to be fun. Trades are going to be fun. The trade deadline is going to be a frenzy. Teams tanking, getting ready for draft picks. Other teams buying, trying to complete their playoff run. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Hey, when we come back, going to kind of break down a couple little things here and there. Probably bring up Cam Newton again because that's just some really exciting news. I suppose it's a hot take, but I'll explain why it's not. This and more on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show. Presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Go to anchor.fm for more information. Definitely check it out, especially if you're looking to start a podcast, really, or even continue one. You just need a better platform to do it on because they put it on, you know, they go put it on all the different podcast platforms, you know, so Spotify and Radio Public and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, all that good jazz. They put it in all those different locations for you and do all the setting up, and it just automatically uploads every time you publish a podcast. It's great. So if you're not already doing it, Anchor's a really great way to simplify things and make your job way easier. Anyways, getting into some really good stuff here. I do have a little bit of a hot take. It is not a hot take that I have put on Twitter, which you can follow me at John D. A. Vogel. Rather, it is a hot take that I put on Parler, which is a new upcoming, and I say new, it's a couple years old, a new up and coming social media platform that's really taken off here in the last week. Twitter shut down a bunch of conservative accounts pretty much for the reason that they were conservative, and conservative is now considered alt-right and bad because Orange Man bad. So for them, for Parler, it's kind of become a platform for a lot of people more conservative minded to go. And I think they realize, you know, because I've been keeping up with it, it's got a lot of potential to really take off and do well. But I've been keeping up with it because there's not too much of a sports community over there yet. And I think you can build that sports community over there. You just have to you have to get the people to find you. So I've been working on it. I've been playing around with it, trying to see who I could find, what kind of a platform you can get over there for sports. Anyways, I think that there is going to be a lot of good with it. I think that it's going to be around for a while. I don't know if it's ever going to overtake Twitter or not. That's what it's kind of designed to be like, is an alternative Twitter. But you have a 1,000 character limit and all that good stuff. So I explained it a little bit over there, but I put this up on Parler. And I think if you want to take a chance looking at the NFL MVP this year, I think if you want to take a really good shot in the dark and, you know, like one of those $100 bets that you put on something looking to, if you hit it, it's going to be a huge return, I would do it on Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. Here's why. The last 3 years, we've seen certain sophomore quarterbacks have phenomenal seasons. And when I say phenomenal, I mean legitimately out of this world MVP caliber seasons. And I'm going to explain this real quick because I don't think a lot of people realize this. I wrote a piece about it, but 2019, this past season, who saw Lamar Jackson winning the MVP? Preseason. It wasn't a prominent idea. In fact, his odds started, I think, 100-1, and by the time the preseason started, he was 20-1. There was a lot of people that were taking that bet. 2018, who saw Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP? Absolutely no one. Absolutely no one. That was a stretch. And Patrick Mahomes put together one of the finest seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback. 2017, first 13 games of the year, Carson Wentz was about to win that MVP. Who saw that coming? Nobody. This is the trend right now, is that if you've got a young quarterback, second-year quarterback, you have a lot of weapons around him, you're able to, and he has an elite trait, they're seeing incredible success right now. Kyler Murray just got DeAndre Hopkins. He's got Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, who I think Fitzgerald, you know, he is old, and old for the NFL, I'll clarify. I'm sorry, Larry. Christian Kirk is a young slot type guy. He's very talented, very explosive. When you look at this team, all right, the running backs, Kenyon Drake, worked out really well last year for them. Chase Edmonds, I just had it, you know, Benjamin, the 7th round NFL draft out of Arizona State, in-home kid, talent, all that jazz. Murray's got a pretty good offense to work with. It's pretty good. You know, Max Williams, the tight end, they don't utilize their... Well, I can't say they don't completely utilize their tight ends, but they don't utilize them as much. But they've got him and Dan Arnold, who were both effective targets last year. But we're talking about a guy who has the weapons. He has an elite trait, and that elite trait is athleticism. He's got a very good arm. Now, that's one thing I think that he does, it's a certain flaw to his game, is that he has the baseball experience, and sometimes he doesn't put enough arc, you know, on his throws, and it's just a straight up fastball going from one place to, you know, his hand to the receiver. And you'll see people like linebackers or whoever undercut those a lot easier and have a much larger range to undercut those, but something I think he's going to work on. He's got that athleticism that's really going to come into play, I think, this upcoming season. Now that the Cardinals kind of figured out their running back situation, kind of figured all that jazz out, I think if you want to take a shot on somebody this year, having a really good chance to win the MVP with crazy odds, I think Kyler Murray is going to be in the running. I really do think he's going to be in the running. Don't get me wrong. I talked about this on Monday a little bit with some of the, you know, sophomore guys. Drew Lock, I think, is the other sophomore guy who's going to have a really good year. Because it's very difficult to have a good rookie season, come back your second year with a completely revamped offense. And I mean, that offense is completely revamped. 115% crazy. You know, with the receivers, they brought in his college teammate, tight end, who was his favorite, probably his favorite target at Missouri. You know, so like, Drew Lock has a really good chance to take off this year as well. And I think he's probably going to. Anyways, that should about wrap it up for today. You can definitely follow me on pretty much any platform at John D.A. Vogel. And get into the conversation. Start throwing stuff at me. Start telling me what you want to hear about. We'll talk about it. Maybe get you on the show. Anyways, y'all have a great rest of your day. God love y'all. And have peace. Let's get ready for a great weekend, huh?